Well, hello everyone. Thanks for joining us online. Probably all know me, but my name's Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. We are online today because our nation has been, our world actually has been facing a crisis with the coronavirus. And so just as a precautionary measure, we're meeting online so that we're not getting infected or infecting one another. And it's kind of a big deal right now. A lot is going on, lots of change. Just even over the last few days, weeks. We just got back from a planned vacation. We went up to Iowa to spend some time with my mom. So we left about 10 days ago. And as we left, it was kind of the time frame where everybody was joking about, you know, just wash your hands and don't touch your face and everything's going to be fine. And the videos were coming out about everybody touching their face like I just did. You know, that was kind of the thing. Like, don't make a big deal out of it. Wash your hands. Then we spent time at Grandma's house. Grandma had her TV on some. She's a little hard of hearing, so the TV's very loud. So of course, the news was on all the time, just kind of blasting through the house. And it was all updates on coronavirus. And so we were exposed to just days on end of news about coronavirus. And it's kind of concerning when you're watching it and being updated all the time. And it got to a point where we're like, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get home to Texas because there was talk of, you know, closing state borders and things to quarantine everybody. And it's like, wow, things have changed a lot in just a very short period of time. Yesterday, Zebby had asked me how many people in the world had coronavirus. And so I Googled it and I told him 250,000. It was a little lower than that. I just rounded the number. I think it was like 230,000, something like that. And this morning they're saying it's 300,000 people. And so this is just an amazing thing. It's just amazing how fast it's spreading and how many people it's affecting. And it's a genuine crisis that we are in the midst of. Now, I think there's hope in the midst of that crisis. I think there are some good things that could come from this. Kathleen was telling about something she saw. I imagine it was on Facebook, but there was a guy who posted and said that he was spending a lot more time at home now because, you know, all the games were canceled. And so he wasn't watching TV or going out to see games or anything. And so he was starting to look around his house and he noticed that there was a woman on his couch. He's like, well, who are you? And she said, well, I'm your wife. And so he was kind of shocked by that. He said she was real nice. So I guess that was going to work out okay. But there are things like that where this could be a certain benefit to where husbands and wives are spending time together. And even in China, as it hit China real hard, I think there were families that were like, you know, wow, we're spending time as a family, maybe for the first time. And that could be a good thing. I think even for our church, as we wrestle through this and try to figure out what do we do during this time, I think it's making us think through what are we supposed to be doing? What's valuable? What is the church? What is life in God? How do we experience life from Him? And as we reevaluate those priorities, I think there's a real hope for good to come of this. Now, in the midst of that, though, I think we need to understand that this is still a real tragedy. And it's very likely that we all will know people who are affected by this. And hopefully it won't be anybody in our church, but, you know, for sure it'll be, you know, our parents or our grandparents or friends or family. You know, there will be people we know who are affected and in a severe way. And so this is a genuine crisis for our country. I have a book that it's called We Had Everything But Money. It's a book about the Great Depression. I don't know if you can see that or not, but we've had that around here for many years. And it just shares stories of growing up in the Great Depression and some of the trials that they faced. And I'll read just a short one to you. Mostly I chose this one just because it's short. It's called She Knew How to Count Her Pennies. His dad lost his job early in the Depression, and we turned our backyard into a garden and sold the produce from house to house. My most vivid memory is the day my mother sold a 3-cent stamp so we could buy bread. She had 2 cents, so she sold the stamp to our neighbor. Then she was able to send me to the bakery for a nickel loaf of bread. You know, there's part of that's almost kind of romantic, like, oh, isn't that beautiful? Because it is this fond memory for this person. And yet, imagine things getting so hard that you have to sell a postage stamp to be able to buy bread. You know, that's not all fun and games. So I think we want to just enjoy God in this time and make the most of it. But I think we also want to recognize that these are going to be hard times for us and people we love. So I want to just open with a little bit of prayer and then just share some thoughts on the trials that we're in the midst of. Oh, I guess before we pray, one more thing. I got an email from Connie Gracie. Carrie and Connie Gracie go to our airport location or airport church, and she emailed me this morning, and she said, Carrie and I went out east of town in the desert to practice pistol shooting, which I guess you don't want to mess with those guys. And Carrie put his hearing aids in his right jeans pocket with his keys, etc. When we arrived home, he said, oh no, we've got a problem. One of his hearing aids had fallen out when he took his keys out to drive home. So we immediately drove back about 20 miles and prayed, asking God to help us find them undamaged. There have been many times when God has helped us find things or gotten us out of a jam. We found them in about 10 seconds in the sand after parking where we had been. Here's a song that we have sung in church a number of times. It's called God is Good. God is good. We sing and shout it. God is good. We celebrate. God is good. No more we doubt it. God is good. We know it's true. And when I think of his love for me, my heart fills with praise, and I feel like dancing. For in his heart there is room for me, and I run with arms open wide. We just wanted to invite all of you to celebrate with us, Carrie and Connie Gracie. And I just wanted to share that because I think we need to believe that. We need to believe that God can help us do the little things, like finding our lost keys or finding a hearing aid, and to give thanks for that. Because if he can't help find a hearing aid, he can't help with the coronavirus. You know, we have to be able to believe that God's at work and that our prayers matter to him. And so I just wanted to share that as a praise, but also just a challenge of, can we trust him? Can we trust him to be at work in our lives? So let's pray. God, we do just thank you for this time here. Thank you just for the technology that we can meet, even in the midst of trying to quarantine ourselves. God, we just look to you during this challenging time for our country and for our world. God, we pray for those who have coronavirus and are dealing with its effects. We pray that you'd be merciful to us. God, I pray that you would just spare lives and help people to recover. I pray, God, that you would help the doctors and scientists who are working on this to be able to find some kind of a remedy, some kind of a cure, and just that you'd be at work in that way. God, we pray for just all the millions of people who are affected by this. I think of just the people who are doctors and nurses or receptionists at hospitals, doctor's offices, and even just everybody, custodians and cafeteria workers. And I think of industries that have been hit hard by this, just groceries and gas stations. And I think of the financial aspects of this with people losing their jobs, people in the restaurant business, and entertainment business and travel business, and even things like real estate. I just imagine people are not going to be buying and selling right now. The stock market has crashed, and for some people, that's their retirement. That's what they're depending on in the coming years. And so, boy, we're facing a lot of trials right now. And I just pray in the midst of all that, God, that you would be gracious to us. God, I pray for some specific needs in our church. God, we just continue to lift up Cortland to you. Just with her battle with cancer, God, we pray that you would heal her and spare her. Just be gracious to their family. Pray for Luke, who lost his job in this last week, and pray that you would just help him to find something. And just for their family, God, I pray that you would just minister to them. Love on them. God, I pray for just our parents. I think of just Ro. She had a concern about her father, and he just is not doing well enough right now to face something like this, so I pray that you would spare him from this virus. Pray for all of our parents and grandparents, and God, just be kind to us in all that. God, I pray for those who are working in the medical field, like Melissa and David and Sandy and others, God, just that need to be at work, and even if they're not dealing with the virus directly, they're around other people who are, and just, oh man, so challenging. So many people are affected by this. And so we just pray you be gracious to us in the midst of this trial. And God, we pray for this time here in our remaining minutes, and just that you would bless this, and that this would be meaningful, that you would touch our hearts. God, help us to see clearly, to live with focus, and to experience life from you. Yeah, we just pray you bless this time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to share something with you guys that's something I've been mulling on over the past months. So our church is called The Rio, and our little byline is where the river flows, everything will live. That comes from a passage in Ezekiel where Ezekiel has a vision from God. And in this vision, there's a little stream, a little trickle of water that's coming out from the temple. And as the stream goes, it gets wider and wider and wider until it becomes this big river that's bringing life and fish and all kinds of things to the world, really. And it's really the opposite of how a river works, unless it has, you know, other tributaries running into it or something. It should get smaller and smaller as it soaks into the ground and evaporates and things. But this river starts as almost nothing and turns into this big life-giving thing. And that's really what we hope to be as a church, that as that little river is connected to God, it's expanding and it's bringing life wherever it goes. And we want to be experiencing that life ourselves, and we want to be bringing that life to our world. And so over the past few months, I've been thinking about how do we experience life from God? And these thoughts are not really quite ready to share. There are things I've been mulling on, and I wish they were a little further developed. I'm sure at some point I'll share more, Dev or I will share more on similar topics. Just how do we experience life from God? But as I've been thinking about this, I just want to share some of the things I've been mulling over so far, and I hope that they'll be helpful to you in just figuring out, okay, how do we experience life from God in the midst of trials? And how as a church do we support one another in experiencing life from God? So I just want to write down some different ways that we experience life from God. Okay, I'm going to break this into two columns. One is receiving, and the other is giving. Receiving and giving. So we'll start with receiving. And if you were to just search on the word life and go through the New Testament, you'd find that a lot, if not most of the verses about getting life from God would relate to eternal life. So I'm going to write eternal life right here. Eternal life. So one of the ways we receive life from God is to get eternal life. And of course, that makes sense. And so we have a hope that goes beyond this life, a hope for eternity, because we've been forgiven, because we were lost, we were stuck in our sins. There was a division between us and God, and there was no way for us to close that division because sin separated us from him. And so because of that, Jesus went to the cross for us. He went to the cross to pay for our sins so that the sins wouldn't be standing in the way between us and God, that we could have relationship with him. Like in Revelation, it says that nothing impure will enter heaven. And so we had to be made pure to be able to enter heaven, to be able to be around God. And so because of what he's done for us, then we have eternal life. And that is a huge part of how we receive life from God. Another way we receive life from God is love from God. Love from God. So if you think of, just our relationship with God and walking in his grace and all the things related to kind of our identity, that we've been forgiven, that we've been made saints, that we've gone from being enemies of God to friends of God, that we've been washed and made clean, we've been adopted into his family, that we're like true children of God, so true that we actually get an inheritance. You know, I mean, all those things are amazing. When we understand that love that God has shown us, then that's a very life-giving thing. Like, wow, I'm a child of God. When we grasp that at any level, that is a very life-giving thing for us. I think another thing that we receive, of course, is love from one another. I'm going to write love from others here. We get love from others. And so in that, I think even just when we think about church, obviously the last couple of weeks I've been thinking about church and the value of our Sunday morning church meeting. And boy, it's sure easy for me to think, well, the value of our Sunday morning is a sermon. And so I work really hard on the sermon and try to have it not bore you to death and stuff like that. And of course, worship, our music is a big part of church. And now that we can't meet together, it makes me rethink that. Like, well, really, I'm not sure that the sermon was all that valuable. Sorry about that. But, you know, that's not why people come to our church. right? They're not coming to listen to me. I know I'm not that great of a speaker. And now that we're online, it's like, well, if you go online, you can find all kinds of people who are far better speakers than we are. But that's not why you come to church, right? You come to church because it's your family. It's people who care about you and people who you care about. And so part of our Christian expression is that we're relational beings and we're in relationship with one another. And that's part of how we experience life, is that other people love us and that's meaningful to us. And then just one more thing is, I think when we enter into God's kingdom, when we become children of God, become Christians, we receive a new way of life. You could call this kingdom living. And that's basically there is life in following God. That we're not just sitting around and waiting for eternal life, like, oh, we'll just make the best of it here, and then we'll really get to experience life. No, there's actually life in following God. And it's a really beautiful thing. And that's why we're disciples. We're following Jesus. We're walking in the Spirit. We're responding to his love in obedience and doing the things that are on his heart. And as we do that, it could be a life-changing thing. You know, it can go from being the drug addict to the preacher type of story. But for all of us, it should be a transformational process where we're becoming more and more like our Father, just like a child becomes more and more like his or her father or mother. These are ways we experience life from God. And these are the ways people have experienced life from God for thousands of years, through all kinds of trials, trials worse than the trials that we're going through now. Think of when Jesus said that it's better to give than receive. I think that relates to these four areas. We don't just receive life by receiving these things, but we also receive life by giving these things. And so you think about eternal life. If you've ever been able to share the message of Jesus with somebody and help someone cross from death to life, it's like, man, that's one of the best days of your life, right? Like there's nothing more fun than that, of making that big of a difference in someone's life. And I know it's not us doing it, it's Jesus doing it, it's God doing it, but still, to be able to be a part of that is a pretty cool thing. And so for some people, your high in your life might be a mission trip that you went on, or a time that you got to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's a life-giving thing for them, but it's also a life-giving thing for us. We receive love from God. We also express love to God. One of the ways we do that is through our corporate worship. We get together on Sunday morning and we pray together and we do music together and sing to God. And I think maybe that's a very meaningful way to us that we express love to God. Also, just walking in his ways is another way of expressing love to him. So there are different ways to do that, but I think that's one of the things that's going to be challenging for us, is just our ability to worship together over the next weeks or months. So we receive love from others, and we give love to others. And honestly, I think that's always challenging to think about, because whenever I talk about love in the church and what it should be like, I think some people are kind of motivated, like, yeah, I want to love people more. And then I think a lot of people walk away kind of hurt. Like, well, it should be really special, and it should be meaningful, and it should be touching my life, but I'm not sure anyone even notices me or cares if I don't come, or knows my name, maybe. And you might think that's only maybe the newer people or the people who don't come very often that struggle with that, but I actually think it's something that we can all struggle with. Because when people are more involved, they have a greater expectation that people will connect with them and care if they're there or not there. And so it's challenging. And even for me, there are times when I felt like, I've gone through this whole huge trial and I've shared it with the church and nobody noticed, or three people noticed. And go on for a long period of time and like nobody touches base or cares, or, you know, and it is easy to feel like, that's hurtful. And I'm not saying I'm hurt by people. I just want to share that we all feel that way sometimes. And so I think one of the keys here is to understand it's not just about me experiencing love from others, but one of the ways I experience life from God is to give love to others. And so even when I'm not getting it, I can still really get a blessing because it's more blessed to give than receive. It's a blessing to me when I'm able to love people in whatever ways, whether it's taking cookies or forgiving people or whatever. And then helping people find a new way of life is also life-giving. Think of the Great Commission where Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So he's basically calling us to teach other people in this new way or in kingdom living. And so we want to see that as part of our mission. So big picture, when we're thinking about this trial that we're facing, you know, which of these can we still do? Well, we can still do most of these things. I think the things that are going to be challenging right now is the love from others and love to others because we can't meet physically. And then I think our worship expression of music is going to be challenging our love to God. And so these are some things that we're really going to have to focus on. Let me share just a few thoughts on some ways that we can love one another during this time. This is going to be real practical type stuff. First of all, I want to encourage everybody to sign up to our email list because it's just a connecting point. And if you've been on our email list in the past, you know that it's not something that you're getting your inbox flooded with stuff. I don't like that when I get that. And so I try not to do that myself. We typically email out our newsletter maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks. It's not very often. It'll probably go up a little bit with our current crisis, but just to let you know, that's our heart. So what you can do is just go to our events page. Right on the front of that page, there's a button on there that says subscribe to emails. I encourage you to do that. You can do that right now if you want. I won't even be able to tell that you are doing something else. So our small groups will probably be continuing on Zoom. Zoom is a platform for conferencing electronically. And I think Dove's small group met on Zoom last week. I just used it for the first time a couple weeks ago. It's easy to use. You just someone sends you a link, you go in and you sign up, it downloads something on your computer. It takes about a minute or two. And then there's a code that you put in to go to that conference room, or a person invited you to the meeting. You just click on that link and it goes straight to it. It's really easy. It shows everybody who's in the meeting. And then if somebody talks, it brings them up big. And so it's kind of a cool thing. So I say Dove's already used this last week. I just signed up for it last night. I think Hauser's just signed up. I don't know on the Mole small group yet, but I imagine they'll be doing that or something similar. Something we could think about is just our haves and needs in the church. There might be people who need something like toilet paper or food. And there might be other people in the church who have that. We might have a hoarder who has 800 rolls of toilet paper because they're hoping to help other people. And that's great. If someone could post, hey, I have a need, someone else could say, oh, I have something to give to help out with that. That would be great. We'll be looking at different platforms and considering what the best thing to use is. Right now, you could do that on our Facebook page. We have our main Facebook page. It's kind of for everybody that is stuff like our sermons and maybe a verse from the pastors or something. And then we also have our little private ones that are for the Westside campus and for the airport campus. I think someone might have to add you to that to get on that. But if you try to go to that and you can't get to it, send me an email and I'll get you signed up for that. Go to our events page is basically our announcements. And on that, there should be a connecting online announcement, and it should have links to the different Facebook groups. So for now, you can post your haves and needs in that, and also post your prayer requests there. I think that would be a great place for us to know what's going on in each other's lives. Small groups might also want to use GroupMe as a way of connecting. It's just another social media platform. If you are outside the church, maybe you used to go to this church and then you moved away, or you just happen to find us on Facebook today or something, and you're like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, but I don't want to like be weird and step into this group when they don't know me. I just want to invite you. You know, you are welcome to join in and be a part of our church family, even if it's just online, and we would love to have you. So feel free to jump in on any of our small groups or Sunday morning services or whatever we have going on. Also, I just want to encourage those of you who have not been a part of a small group, you guys are the ones that I'm concerned about the most, because just I think those who've been in a small group maybe are a little more relationally connected. And so it'll be easy for those of you who haven't been part of a small group to just feel really distanced right now. And, you know, there's no judgment in it. You may not be able to do a small group, hasn't fit in your schedule, whatever, but everybody's schedule's changing right now. Everything's going crazy right now. I encourage you to make an effort to connect with others. It'll probably be hard. It'll probably be awkward. But if you connect through Zoom, that should help make that happen. One more thought is just to encourage one another. If you have a thought that you would like to share that you think would be encouraging, just like Connie emailed me that post today, you can sure post stuff on our Facebook groups. And, you know, as long as they kind of fit the flavor of who we are as a church and our doctrine and stuff, that's certainly welcome. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And I think there we get a little flavor of the church back in the day was a family who encouraged each other and who were connected to one another closely. And it wasn't just an event that you went to and a pastor stood up and shared with everybody. And we're going to need that more. More of us just sharing our hearts, sharing things that we've heard from God. And we're going to have to do that on Facebook and things right now. But I encourage you, jump in there, call people, connect with people. That would be great. I want to share one more verse with you guys, and then we'll call it good for today. But in Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So in the early church, the very beginning of Acts, this is what people devoted themselves to. I think we need to do something similar. We need to devote ourselves to these things in these times. Because everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I think those people in the early church were experiencing life. They're experiencing life from God, even in the midst of the trials that they face, even in the midst of great persecution and suffering. And I think we can do the same, but it's going to take an intentional shift for us. And I think we're where God is shaking things up, and it's a great spot to reevaluate. And so I want to encourage you to strive for that, to work hard to be connected to one another, and to really devote this time to God, devoting your life to God. And I think in the end, we'll find that God does some really beautiful things through this trial that we're going through. Not that it's going to be easy, but it'll be beautiful as we go through these trials together. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time here, and just thank you for the work that you're doing in our church. And God, we just pray that we would be experiencing life, even in the midst of these trials. God, you've helped people through the Great Depression. You've helped people through all kinds of horrible wars and diseases and all kinds of things. God, I pray that you would help us through this time. And I pray that you would help us to be people of faith, trusting you and trusting your goodness. Help us not to be living in fear, but just trusting that whatever you allow us to go through, that it's okay, and that you'll be there for us in the end, and you'll be there with us through the whole time. And so we just thank you. Thank you that you leave hope in the midst of a really dark situation. And God, I pray you'd help us to just really experience you during this time, experience life from you. And I pray that you would help us to be able to offer life to our world as we love on our neighbors and serve them and help them. And God, help us to find ways to really be able to love people practically. And so we thank you for this time here. In Jesus' name, amen.